Question 135. How shall the scripture be fulfilled? Matthew 26:54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? The traditional concept of scripture is flawed severely. To believe what is told from the pulpits and taught in the seminaries today, one would have to think that the Bible is more like a magical book than a collection of sacred writings. It's called the Word of God, a title held for Christ alone, and a name that the Bible does not claim for itself. The modern Bible is considered a finished, monolithic book, a closed canon. That's a very opportune stance, since man has added all he wants to it and taken away all he wants to remove. Now he claims that it cannot be added to, nor may anyone take anything from it. Even the good old King James, so revered and adored, even worshipped by many, has lost 14 books since 1611. Still, we're told that the Bible is flawless, inerrant, contains no contradictions, and is inspired, or from the breath of God. Again, all claims that the Bible does not make for itself. Some may argue that 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Bible is inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But it's clear by the previous verse 15 that this is said about the scriptures that were known by Timothy as a child. It is therefore impossible that Paul would be referring to the collection of books you now have, your Bible, sitting there beside you. These men had never heard of a New Testament, other than the one they were preaching. Their faith rested in the living Lord Jesus Christ, and not in a collection of scrolls. They learned of the promises and fulfillment of this Messiah through the testimony of the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and some other writings that we do not have. It would be foolish to claim that the scriptures of old were not inspired, but it's just as foolish to claim that the King James Bible is God-breathed. Our definition of and our faith in scripture should be identical to the apostles. To have any other view is asking for trouble. So, is our Bible trustworthy? Absolutely. Anyone who knows Christ has a teacher and guide that can lead them into all truth. The truth found in the Bible is no exception. It has to be revealed as well. We must learn from our guide, because if we do not learn from him, we'll end up with hundreds of interpretations, denominations, divisions, strivings, and arguments, even though we all carry the same book. Sound familiar? Yes, it is the very situation we have today. The Bible has done nothing to bring the body of Christ together. Rather, the reverse. Yet it's unfair to blame the scriptures for the division. The separations came about because we elevated the book, and thereby man's interpretation of the book, to the level of divinity. This is why Jesus did not say, I will send you a book, an inerrant, inspired book, which shall lead you and guide you into all truth. No, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. This Spirit of truth can take you through the Bible and beyond, showing us everything we need to know to meet life with joy, faith, power, and grace, and render us fully capable in every situation as we look to Jesus, the only living Word of God, and hear from him wisdom, knowledge, and guidance. All that being said, where does the magic of the Bible come in? Does this book have within it the power of prophecy? Is the future foretold in these scriptures of truth? Jesus spoke as though he was living in a sealed destiny or under some cosmic obligation to fulfill these prophecies. Did he feel that there were certain things that he must do so that the scriptures would be fulfilled? As the disciples were thinking of rescuing Jesus from the hands of the wicked men who had come to retrieve him from the Garden of Gethsemane, was Jesus telling them not to resist so that the scriptures would be fulfilled? Why else would he say, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Perhaps it is our view on this verse that makes it sound as though the scriptures are leading and present events, and therefore history, follow. After all, throughout Matthew, we have heard the author say, "This was done to fulfill the scripture that." The gospel narrative repeats this as if to prove to any student of the scriptures that Jesus was the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. What role do the scriptures play in prophecy, and how are we to fulfill them? The scriptures have an inexplicable value to the reader. They, quote, "are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come," end quote. 1 Corinthians 10:11. We, here at the end of the world, are to read and gain insight and knowledge from our ancestors' experiences and thereby be prepared for the inevitable end of all things. Who's not shuddered as they read the words of Paul telling, by the Holy Spirit, the condition of the world near the end? 2 Timothy 3:4. But should we act out the wickedness we read there so as to fulfill the scriptures? No, of course not. By these words given to us, we should be aware, expecting, and not taken by surprise. We should know the scriptures and be well versed in them and glean from them the knowledge that our guide wants us to have, weighing all we read there in the Holy Spirit and sound reason. In doing so, we may develop a sense of future events that will prepare us for the end time. If we're not prepared, we may find ourselves resisting, as the disciples did, the prophesied plan for our lives. The disciples had the words in their head. Jesus felt no need to reiterate the scriptures to them. They knew what he was speaking of when he mentioned the scriptures. What Jesus had to remind them of, what they had forgotten, was the application of what they already knew. He had to remind them that the scriptures had foretold of the day in which they were living and everything they were about to experience. They were still thick and slow in spirit. They couldn't seem to make the connection. It was not until after his resurrection that he explained it fully and finally got through to them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day." To avoid resisting God's plan for us, we need to have our understandings opened to the scriptures. When your understanding is opened, the Bible finally becomes the Word of God. Although its words are the words of God, and although its records are valuable to men who are given understanding, without the living Christ to open its message to us, it's nothing more than ink and pages, and perhaps a nice leather cover. There is no magic, no messages, no codes, no miracle, just ink and paper. If we look at our Bible as anything more than what it is, we take the glory due only to the Word of God, Christ, and attempt to share it with a corruptible creation. As the disciples began to hear Christ and then see his prophecy in the scripture, they began to understand that there was no choice to be made in the garden that night. There was no war to fight, no territory to win, no property to hold, no reason to resist. Had they been able to understand, they could have applied the scriptures to what was happening around them. This is what hearing the word of God is all about. It was when he opened their comprehension, giving them understanding of the scriptures, that they heard the word of God for the first time. Not years before, sitting in a synagogue or at their mother's knee, they heard it. It's the extra kick we feel when a scripture is made alive to us that should tip us off that we're hearing the true word of God. It's the aha experience, the light that comes on, the application of scripture to real life that's going on around you that shows you you're being guided, you're being shown, you're hearing the word of God. When you don't understand, when you try to fight back, when you try to hold your position and not surrender to those who are seen as enemies, it's then that you need to consider the scriptures. Is the problem or trouble you're experiencing what you are to expect? Is this difficulty what was foretold by prophecy? Perhaps you're resisting God and his plan that was presented to you in clear prophecy by the scriptures. If that's so, why do you resist? If thus it must be, then how shall the scripture be fulfilled?